This is why I plead with my church in these last days. I beg of you, understand my words. Wake up and understand the season. For this is the very reason why that you hear more and more of the songs of heaven speaking of my coming. This is why those who pen the words are hearing the sound of my spirit in their spirit. Because I'm bringing heaven and earth together, saith the Spirit of God. Now is the time to understand that that time is upon you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Prepare yourself as a bride well adorned. Meet her coming husband. Know this, that the day and hour is soon to change. Set not your affections upon the things of this earth. Did I not say, do not be like those virgins who were caught unaware? But know this, to all those who hear my voice and will prepare their spirit, know this, that there is a sudden work that I'll do in this last day, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh my. Jesus, help us. I cannot get out of my spirit. It's just been like a fire that's just been shut up in my bones. God. A monarch is coming, people. A monarch is coming. Hallelujah! Jesus. What's a monarch? He's a king. He's not an elected official. He's not a president. He's not elected by the people. He's not a prime minister. He's not a dictator. A dictator rules for his own welfare. But he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You don't like the present government? Don't worry about it too much. Don't worry about it too much. It's all about to change anyway. I don't know anybody that's got any sense. I mean any sense at all. Pour water out of a boot sense. Any of those prophetic guys. Spirit-filled, unspirit-filled. That wouldn't tell you that these are at least that. The threshold to everything that Jesus said in Matthew 24 was the beginning of sorrows. That was the door that all that began to... All of them will tell you this. You want a bunch of preachers agreeing? They don't agree on anything. Any of them that's got a little bit of sense will agree this. We're at least inside the beginning of sorrows. What does that mean? Our King is already ready to come back. Don't be hugging on anything on this earth. It don't matter. It's all going to change. Hallelujah. Jesus. A monarch is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus. We sing those songs. He reigns, He reigns. We think, yes, spiritually. Yes, Lord. Yes, folks, that is about to be a literal, physical thing that's going to happen on earth. He's going to come back and rule on this planet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And He's saying to the church, wake up and get ready for it. Because a revival is coming. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, lift your hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Gay, you saw a vision the other day about this last church. Turn around to me. Stand up here. They can see you.
Last Sunday, Pastor started exhorting, and he was standing about right there, but on that second step, and I don't know if you remember, but he was talking about the new nature, and he was kind of giddy like a little schoolboy. And when I saw him, out of my peripheral vision, just off to the left, I saw this vision of him in front of this sea, this super large mass of people. And he was in front, and it was the triumphant entry of the last church in heaven. And the 12 thrones stood. And at first I didn't know what they looked like, but the Holy Spirit gave me the word. He said, they were starstruck. They were in such anticipation of the last church. And everyone was just in awe. And Pastor was in front, and he was marching in front of us. And he was kind of proud, and his chest was stuck out, but he knew where he was, and he knew what it was, and he was in his full call, and it was glorious. It was so glorious. Usually when I have a vision, I can kind of lean into it and dwell there and go to the outer edges of it. And this time I couldn't. The Holy Spirit said, no, I can only give you a glimpse because it's too glorious. And after that, through the marriage feast, through the millennium, it was only the last church. Nobody said anything about the first church. It was just the last church. And I shared this with Candy yesterday, and she said, fresh anointings, fresh giftings, not like ever before. Hallelujah. Not since the book of Acts.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Like never before.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh,
Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Jevrim bedes yachrasteni. Hije de blos ke de dia. Fninin shkele vras de benetia. Bedevato. Did I not confirm this in my word when I said that you would be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses? These laid the groundwork and witnessed unto you of the coming things. But they obtain not. But know this, that even that first church was only supposed to be a shadow of the things that I would return for, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. The reason why my church is so asleep, and the reason why my words sound like foreign words to them, like a child that you try to wrestle out of a bed of sleep, and they hear you, but they can hardly acknowledge you because your words are not being spoken to senses that are awake. Know this, that the vast mass majority of my church is asleep under the guise of cares of this world, saith the Spirit of grace. You can't hear my words and respond adequately often and most often because your senses are underneath the cares of this world, and your senses have been so bogged down by rehearsing the things that have come upon you. And you say, yes, yes, but I didn't ask for these things. I did not say that you were the one that brought them. But did I not say that you were seated together with me in heavenly places, saith the Spirit of grace? When you wait to come to my house to begin to gear your senses to hear from me, you've already let those things sit upon you day after day, night after night. And even as you sleep, your senses went to sleep under the thoughts of the cares of this world. Then when I try to wake you up, I'm having to get past cares and thoughts that you brought in with you and thinking, God, will you help me? Will you help me? Know this, my help was way beyond this moment. My help was the moment that you decide to call out to me and decide that you can be seated together with me in heavenly places, never to be bogged down or cared down with the burden of thought, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus. So when I say wake up, it's not for just this moment in time.
Amen.
You can't come out of a slumber that you've practiced. You can't come out of a slumber that you've practiced and you practice very well, saith the Spirit of grace. But know this, to those who run free from all care and see my provision, spirit, soul, and body in their life, will be those who practice diligently and build for me inside of them a memorial, rehearsing always who they are, where they're from, and where they're going, saith the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Ezebako.
Sebediakaraso. So when I said, wake up, you could only wake up to the level that you've allowed me to begin to speak to you, saith the Spirit of God. But know this, that I'm coming to anyone who will say yes, Lord. Anyone who will say yes, Lord. And will practice these things outside of my house and live in them and work in them and go to sleep in them. Know this, you'll be well awake in these last days, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Zevria Blaske de Vidya. Ejetia Natia friend and Stimatini. He reasons with you like you're his child and like we reason with each other. Saying words like this. Have you ever been in a place and they said, or he said, or she said, or they said to you something and you nodded as to acknowledge the statement? And then days later, hours later, perhaps weeks, it dawned on you what was being said and what you said that you acknowledged of truth, but you realized at the moment, having really understood the truth, that you did not at the moment understand. Know this, that I love you, and I'm prophesying to you through drunken senses. For did I not say, be not drunk with the wine of this world, but be ye filled with the Spirit? Well, did I not say that he goes about, the enemy, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Therefore I said, be sober, be vigilant. For I know that I'm speaking through drunken senses that is trying to acknowledge the truth of which you hear. But know this, the more that you worship me and the more that you come to me in these things, you'll find you brighten up and brighten up until there's not a part of you that is not desensitized, but everything comes under the full persuasion of knowing this: I am who I said I am, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, my Lord, my Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Not be moved or shaken,
hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, but to be planted on
yes,
the
rock.
Oh, how we love you.
I love you.
Hallelujah.
And I would say to you, just as a child learns to ride a bike, you will learn these things that I was just talking about practicing. And as you practice, it will be easy because my Holy Spirit will be teaching you. And not only will it be easy, but as you practice, and it gets easier and easier,
thank you, Lord,
just like riding a bike, once you reach that, you'll never forget.
Thank you, Jesus.
I say this to comfort you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
We choose you, Jesus. We are.
We choose to.
I think most of you know. Probably everybody, but it always helps to teach. You know, when we come in here, there's songs that are being written now that come right out of the Word of God, and it has. It doesn't mean nothing to me to see old religion. I had to sit there and sing it. That's got mothballs on it. I'm responding as I'm hearing. It's just like me prophesying the Word of God to you. I could care less if I sit through a whole service and just listen and respond to the prophecy of the words that are being... Well, I like to... Well, if you sang something you knew and still went out and worried and walked in the flesh, what would it matter? That's just religion. I want to be changed from glory to glory. We just love to find religion and kill it right on the spot. Are you religion? Yes. Die! Boom! Jesus. But we love Him, don't we? Why don't you go around and give people a great big hug this morning.
Can I share something real quick?
Yes. Would you listen? Candy's got one thing before you.
I think the Lord just wants me to place a footnote on this, what He's been doing this morning. It's a word that came the beginning of the month. He said, there is a lot I have to say, and when you give me these few moments in my presence, I am able to say many, many things to you that you couldn't hear had you not stopped and been quiet. I desire for you to have more moments like these. It's in the quietness that I can rule your life. It's in the moments that you are quiet that I can share things with you that you would never have known had you not been still. So make it a point to come to this place more often. I have a lot to say, and I have a lot to do, and it's pleasing me the way that you have spent these moments with me. You are getting to a place where you're actually able to hear my voice. So keep coming, and don't let the days pass too many without just being quiet and listening, because my voice is the voice above all voices that you need to be listening to. So follow my lead, and I will lead you in a way that you have never dreamed was possible before, because I am training you up in the way that you should go. You will fail not, and you will follow my lead. You are overcomers through me, and I have a lot in store for you. And it excites me that you are letting me to fulfill my call in this place. So thank you for being quiet, and thank you for listening, and thank you for letting me have the control that I need to move in this place forward.
Thank you, Father. And I'm so thankful. The more we wait on Him, the more we prepare ourselves. Where we're weak, He is strong. And I can do all things through Christ. Now you do know, and let me say this first, I'm so glad I go to this church. Not because I pastor it, but because you come here. Because I love you. And this really is a meaningful statement. I'm glad I come here. because I'm glad you're here in support of the revival and going forward. But you do know that He wants to do a whole lot more than what He gets to do. Any of you that know that even when we get to those real high crescendos, like in the Spirit, we're just not hitting that yet. And that's not an indictment. That's just where we're going. Hallelujah. He's got so much more. So much more. Well, that makes me feel good, because when I know how good it is and know that it's going to get gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. Pray for me, because I feel like I've got a big part in it. But pray for you, because you know what'll help? You know what'll help, just like pour gas on it and take us to places? Is that when you come with church inside of you. See, some of you were distracted right then. You didn't even hear what I said. When you come with church raging on the inside of you, my God, angels are going to come in those hours. Going to walk in between us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody will scream in the back, "I just got healed," and it won't even interrupt us. It'll just keep going higher and higher and higher. Somebody will scream, "My God, I've been set free," and it won't even interrupt us. We'll just keep going higher. When you come with church on the inside of you already, we don't have to build it to a church place. Hallelujah. About the time we leave each week and have said under about 3 hours of anointing, we're just getting the crust of the world and cares off of us where we can really worship. And then we have to go home. Jesus, what if we came with glory inside of us? It's coming and now is, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship You. Jesus is Jesus. And besides for that, You guys are the greatest. I exalt You, Father. I acknowledge, Lord, that You're taking us higher and higher. But I also acknowledge that we've probably entered into preschool, something like that, of where Your glory really wants to take us to. I can't wait to walk through these elementary places of glory. Middle school, Lord, and high school. But Father, I'm working on a doctorate in You, that Lord, the blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dumb speak, and the dead are raised, and thousands are born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Besides for you hollering out, "I got healed," the devils that'll fall over and flop, you say, "Well, when they show up, that'll be the day, won't it?" Don't look to your right or left, but you have no idea how often the seat next to you could manifest if there was enough of what it takes to make one manifest. Jesus didn't walk any place that they didn't manifest around Him. Well, that was because there was a lot of demon-possessed people in those days. I know everybody got smarter and the devils went away. People that are real religious would go cross-eyed on you if there was enough power to pull them out. But let me tell you something. In this last day, a lot of what we'll be doing is deliverance ministry. And it won't make you afraid, and it won't get you goofy, and it won't... We don't spend a lot of time with them. He loves it when 15 people get around Him. Cough it up. Now do you want to look at it? How can you look at an invisible being? All that was spit. That's just green vomit. No, I've seen the devil come out of him. You saw spit. I love the way Dave always talks about it. He had 15 people or however many. Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out. People think if you scream at them,
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Deanne, you got to tell that one. I like it.
I was listening to a message, and I told Bronk about being honest.
The girdle of truth. That's a good one.
Girdle of truth. There was this pastor that went to pray for the possessed, and he laid his hands on him and said, "We've been fasting and praying," and it was a woman. Voice changed to a man, said, "No, you haven't. You had ham and eggs this morning for breakfast." It's over.
And that shut that deliverance down. So the pastor set a church to pray and fast. And it wasn't for that devil. It was just praying and fasting like we have at the beginning of the year. And then he stepped up and said, she started manifesting. He said, "You come out. I've been praying and fasting. She's, and little sweet 110 pounds go, "Oh, no, you haven't. You had ham and eggs for breakfast." And the liar told the truth. And I'm sure he didn't come out. I don't care if deliverance service or what. I'd have died laughing. I'd have just fell over. I mean, so my God, did you really, really have it? See, they know. The sons of Sceva, they said, "You come out in the name of the God that Paul serves." They said, "Are you serious? Jesus we know, Paul we know. But who in the are you?" And the Bible says they tore their clothes off of them. And these boys ran down the street with their buns showing. They were, and the Bible said, naked. They had streakers in the first century. Where are them guys going? They just came from an exorcism service. Look at that. Look at him. There he goes. Look at that. Look at that. And he ain't wearing no clothes. Jesus. Now, where were we supposed to be at? So Dave said he had all these people come out. And he just said, can I get involved? Sure. He got down and whispered. And then the thing goes, and everybody after service goes, "God, what kind of secret, powerful, decoded message did you have straight from the throne?" He said, "I said, in Jesus' name. It's not the volume. It's in what's in you. Glory be to God." So don't give them much. These Holy Ghost services, stay in the heavens. And when the fish quits flopping, they'll join us. They'll stand up and join us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people enjoy putting those doodads on people's arms by watching the demonstration of screaming at them and all that stuff. I'd rather have your euphoria in a place of heavenly places with Jesus Christ. And those things are just coming out on their own. Hallelujah. That's how we cast out devils around here. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Matt, give us another song. In fact, while he's doing that, we're going to go to Faith 101. What is that? Kenneth Hagin, 11:23-24. No, Mark. Oh, Mark. Okay. You can turn there if your Bible has it. But let's just worship. Faith 101. My God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just worship. Glorify you. I love your people. I thank you for
For this is the church. And we are together with many, many others across this nation and around this globe that you're coming back for. And we will walk in power and we will walk in truth. We will walk in righteousness and true holiness before our God, before the coming King comes. We love you, Jesus. We receive by the great, great grace of God the strength to preach your gospel and to teach and to receive and to be a participant with everyone here, Lord, in this grace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Many of you are walking through, as Peter said, manifold temptations, testings. James said it was something that he began that first chapter, that you fell into diverse temptations. And part of it was truly the fact that the man wasn't perfected in something that needed to be perfected in him, but God wasn't even holding that against him because the guy fell into it. He didn't know. He wasn't choosing to walk into the trial. And that's why Peter said, think it not strange. Strange. Concerning the fiery trial that has come to try you as though some strange, abnormal events had come. Well, James said that the trying of that faith, once it endured with patience, would make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you. Peter said it could feel like some strange thing was happening. Why would it feel strange? But because you know who God is, and you know that you believe everything about Him, and yet the devil seems to be, the symptoms seem to be still there. Or the pressure seems to still be there. Well, Peter said, know this, that even though it's being tried as by fire, it's more precious than gold. Why? Because he said, even though it's being tried by fire, gold, he said, in all essence, has a perishing point. You send it into the heat, you send it into the sun, it will perish. But know this. This is what Peter was saying. Your faith, it doesn't have a perishing point. It will not be destroyed. Even though this seems strange, you feel a little disoriented in it. This seems to be contradicting everything I know. Keep doing everything you know, because the strange will turn in once again to the reality that God is who He says He is. Hallelujah. Which brings us to faith 101, which is what? Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Most of us cut our teeth on these scriptures about faith. Well, the first thing I can tell you is if you know this, do everything that you possibly can to act like you don't know it. Because I found out the most times when I miss God in understanding is when there's something inside of me says, I've got that one, so let me go on. I've got that. I'm not talking about a godly kind of confidence that you know that He's taught you something, but something that'll say, okay, I'll kick my listener in when I start hearing something new that I haven't heard before. You see, I think you pretty well know this. I had my Bible marked, so I think I can turn it back, but I knew where Mark was at. But how many of you believe this is the Word of God? Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will remain forever. He's exalted this Word above His name. Why? Because you are what you say. Your Word is your bond. And your name's no better than what you back up. And heaven and earth will be passed away. But this Word will always. Hallelujah. New heaven, new earth is coming. but this will endure through it all. Is it powerful? Is it all powerful? Can it change things? You guys are saying all the right words. I believe it exactly like you're saying it. Let me ask you something. Even though this is a canon of scriptures, the church early first and second century fathers decided, and we concur. The Holy Spirit inside of us said they got it right. We concur that the ones they picked, there was a bunch of them to pick. Some religions chose some writings that we don't agree with. And they'll contradict our canon. They'll contradict it. But we concur in the Spirit that this is the Word of God. The first fathers believed it was. They said this is the ones we'll conclude in. And this is it. So the Spirit inside of us, 1 John bears witness that not only that we're the sons of God, but something inside of us bears witness to the truth. And the truth of it is that I believe, just by reading this, that this is the whole counsel of God. And something inside of me tells me they got it right. There's not one in here that's not supposed to be in here. And that they didn't leave one out. They should have had other 10. They should have had the Maccabeans, or they should have had this or that, or, you know, some other writings. This is it. It's all powerful. It's all powerful. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the illusion is this, is where does it begin to work in its power? Where does it truly emanate with strength? See, you said this is the Word of God, and I agree. You said it's all powerful, and I agree. I said it's truth, and I believe that you agree. I believe that it's totally, it's whole. There's nothing about it that's left out. But you know, I don't think I've ever tried it, but I just don't believe that it would work. That you could walk up to a corpse, because I've tried it in the hospital several times. I couldn't get it done yet. But you know, I don't believe that if I'd have had my Bible along with me and just laid it on top of that dead man's chest, he'd have got up. Contrary to movies, this is only a relic. It's only an artifact. A cross laid on a demon-possessed person's head. They'll spit the cross out and throw it away. You can lay a Bible on top of a demon-possessed person's head and they don't care. They don't care. See, I think sometimes because I've got this and I've read parts of it, big parts of it, that some kind of something is supposed to happen to me, and I don't understand when it's not happening to its measure against the trial, and yet I've got my Bible. And then if you added, see, if I hear what you've got, and it's from that, it adds, can I borrow that, honey? And most of you know how to get back to Mark, so if I mess you up. So if I couldn't, let's just say if I couldn't cast a devil out of a person up here, or raise the dead, you brought in a corpse and they just died 10 minutes ago, can you help us out? That's my baby. Can you do something about it? I had this. This is mine. But if I couldn't have done something about it 10 minutes ago, when I walked over and got candies and added to it, did it give me a double strength? Did it make me stronger? Did her word given to me, all her canon multiplied, now I got all this, did it make me stronger? Am I able now if I couldn't do it 5 minutes ago? No. Can I have yours? Well, yours is a light one. I'll forget where I got all these after a while. Dan, you can find yours pretty quick. See, I'm just... Mary, you're taking notes. I'm sorry. See, I'm going all over the country, though, and I'm getting all this word. I'm all over the place, man. Give me something else. Can I... Granddaddy, I'm sorry. I got a. Somebody else needs to give me another word or another teaching on. Thank you. Can I have some more teaching? Thank you. That's a good one. Man, look at all this knowledge. I've been getting it off the internet and been getting it off of TV and I've been getting it off of anybody else that'll give it to me. Pablo, did I get yours already? Okay. Sorry, Pablo. I wish you had two. Pooh Bear, you got one? It's got a big one. Yours has got a lot of authority. Okay? See, I got all this. I got all this authority. Now I can get this person raised from the dead, can I? This is the word, and y'all gave me your word, and I got a bunch of it now. I'm compact. I've been listening to it every place. I mean, every devil in hell ought to just run when they see me coming. Because the more the better. I've been listening to everybody, and anybody will give me a word, I've been getting one. And anybody that's been teaching, I've been getting their word. So I'm stronger now, right? You guys are the most disagreeable bunch of people. In fact, this is just weighting me down. This is just weighting me down. And I'm no more powerful than I ever was. Y'all help me. Grab what's yours. Who's next? That was a very powerful word. Mary, I felt more authority in yours than anybody's. Oh, this is Granddaddy's. Granddaddy's, yours beat Mary. Who's? Marcia's? Terry's? You got a little pen knife. That's
powerful.
No, oh, that's right, because the size of the Bible, you know, it doesn't. The bottom one? Okay. Mine. Okay. Oh, can you turn to Mark 11? Hallelujah. Is that in the New Testament? Yep. Well, what's going to make the difference? What? Barbara, I think you got it right. If it's in here. It's not what you carry. It's not even what you heard. Jesus said, if you do my sayings, if these sayings that are in my book and that I've said, if they become such a natural part of you, that they're so innate, so ingrained, so infused in who you are, that you're walking the Word out and you're living the Word out, then whatsoever you'll have or whatsoever you'll say. Thank you. Jesus, hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22 of Mark 11. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, Peter had just called to his remembrance, Lord, you cursed the fig tree. And look, we're back on our way into town and you just did it yesterday. And it's dead from the very root. And we don't have time to get into this, but he wasn't just showing a demonstration of power here. The fig tree was the ornate symbol of the Jewish priesthood. And when Jesus walked by it and cursed it and then went into town and threw out the money changers and said, make not my Father's house a den of thieves, he was basically saying, this order of things has come down. There's a new order being instituted. The old Jewish fig tree, the law, is forever abolished under the authority of the born-again nature. Hallelujah. You don't have to follow me around with Ten Commandments anymore. I've been born again. I know what's right and what's wrong. Glory be to God. But it was a demonstration of power, in so much that the next day Peter goes, "My God! My God, this thing was green yesterday. It's dead. Look at it." And then Jesus begins to teach on faith. And look what he says here. We've read it so many times. Don't assume anything. Because I'm hearing this for the first time myself. Even though I've heard it before, every time I pray is fresh and anew. Have faith in God. For truly, or verily, which is the word truly, earnestly, he's saying, I earnestly say this to you. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and believe me, he just cursed the fig tree and he was turning to a mountain and he was giving him a visual demonstration. Some think it might have been the Mount of Olives. Who knows? Not sure. But he was saying, whosoever, look guys, you see this fig tree? Let me teach you the faith of God. I'm about to release you all as apostles, and then I'm about to filter this power down through my church. But let me tell you this, how this works. You see this mountain? He said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, as a result of this, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now the Holy Spirit began to prophesy as I stepped up here and talked about the manifold temptation that often seems so strange. If I went through, and I would not for the dignity of your privacy, but if I went through and pointed, there are so many of you going through so many things physically, spiritually, emotionally, many of you financially. And yet we know the Word of God is true. And we know, according to His Word, that we have been seated together positionally with Him in heavenly places. Do we not know that? But we have to understand this, that He released to His church a place of authority that only you as an individual could ensure. Because what you had inside of you, this Word, if you chose to speak it out against the opposition. Now let's go through this one more time. And let's recount some words that we have said here before in the past. And maybe you've kept those notes. I asked you before to put them over in the margin of your Bible, or just put a little E or L. But let's recount what Jesus was saying. It's amazing that He said the same word, but He said it as a different word. It's interpreted in our King James as different, but I promise you, if you go to any Greek concordance, you'll find out what I'm saying is true. Jesus, in verse 22, answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say, is the word lego, L-E-G, long O, lego. I say unto you, what is that? When He says, I say unto you, He says, the word lego means to set something in discourse, or set something into measure, into motion. I'm about to tell you how. I'm saying to you, by the very thing that I'm teaching you, I'm setting something in motion. I am teaching you something,
And I want you to learn it so that you'll also set things in motion. A discourse of motion. Verily I lego unto you that whosoever shall say, and that is actually to speak. Are these in our King James, are they both the same word? It says say, S-A-Y. But the Greek or the Aramaic would say it like this. For truly I set this in motion. I lego. That whosoever should epo, E-P, long O, epo, whoever would say. Now we're looking at a mountain, guys. And I want you to understand this. And so I'm going to speak this into motion. And so I want you to understand that whosoever says or say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Well, somebody said, doubt in his heart, that's key. Yes, it is key. Because when he says doubt, it's the word hesitate or division. That there is a hesitation, even though you're speaking it out, there is something inside of you that wants to grab the word. It wants to grab it. When I say finances, I say Jesus said, the word says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I say unto you, mountain, I say unto you, physical infirmity that is coming against me. He bore in his body my infirmities and with his stripes. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that is the opposition, that is whatever is coming against you, and say, well, it's several for me. It's, well, Paul, Peter said, it's manifold sometimes. Sometimes I kind of like it when I've got one standing there. I can put all attention. Peter said there are times where they come in bunches like bananas. They're manifold. There's a bunch of them. So you're not only speaking to a mountain, you're speaking to several mountains. They're surrounding you. Sounds like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, surrounded, but not in despair, not distressed. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am teaching you this, whosoever shall lego, set in operation by the words of his mouth and shall not, he'll say it, he'll say it. How does he set it into discourse? How does he set it into motion? By something he says, but he says it's key that you don't doubt in your heart. And somebody says, well, you can say it all you want to, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to work. Yes, that's correct. But why does he say from the very beginning, I'm telling you, you must set something in discourse? Because as long as you wait for the faith to come and to agree so it'll initiate you saying something, you'll always be waiting on yourself. You must step out. The very faith that it takes to move your lips is the very faith that Jesus said, this is setting it into motion. Don't wait to say, I don't know if I believe it all with my heart or not. You can't until you do it, and you must do it and do it until it becomes the very ingrained Word of God inside of you. Well, I just don't believe it wholly so entirely, so I'm not saying, my God. You'll always be hesitating. You'll always be waiting. Why? Because he sets in motion here, here's how you do it. Now listen. When Jesus said, the man that builds his house on the rock is the man who does my sayings. And we always say, let's do his sayings. What is doing his sayings? I mean, you can do certain things like cast out devils and raise the dead and stuff like that. You can do those kind of things. We don't necessarily believe too much on knocking on doors. If we were a good, you know, Baptist church, which I'm not, I thank God for the Baptists. They got most of you saved. We'd be thinking that we had to do something. What is doing it? Most of what Jesus taught us in the doing had something to do with our inside, our heart. And when I step out and begin to say, I am doing His sayings. I am taking the very thing that He used, His word, as strength to me, and I begin to speak it. I'm doing His sayings. Hallelujah to God. Whosoever should lego, that is to set into action, and shall say, actually speak. You've got to speak. Well, I know all this. I know it. But if you're in manifold temptation, now is the time, more than ever before. It is. There are underscorings. There are parentheses in our life. Do I have to do this forever? Not if you win the victory. I don't think Scripture would bear out that Jesus went around confessing, I say, Father, the next town that I'm getting to, you're going to move. You're going to minister. I say. No, His mind was totally renewed. But while our mind is fighting a strange warfare, we must stand up and say and say and say and say until the hesitation goes away. Do you know what ministering to your own soul is? It is worship. It is also confession. It is taking His word. You're not convincing God. You're convincing yourself. Always, 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 unless you're where Jesus was at, when you begin to speak something, no matter how much you want to believe it, there will be something on the inside that wants to grab it. It wants it. Even if you try to say it fast enough that your mind can't grab it and say it, like, it'll still grab it. Like, maybe it won't. Maybe, but it didn't, or they didn't have it, or it didn't come to pass for them. He says, if you say, speak with your mouth, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, now, shall come to pass. The word saith here is the word lego, which means to set into action. If you believe that you've set something to action, I just put a little L there. I started out with the first when I put, verily I say, little L. It's lego. I set into discourse. I set into action. That whosoever shall speak, I mean actually say, that comes out of my tongue unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, lego, sets into discourse, sets into action, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he epo says with his mouth. Glory be to God. Do you know when it says that he says, but shall believe in his heart, or shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass? Do you know what it says there? He says that he'll have whatsoever he saith. When he says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, it's talking about you bringing something forth as in creation. You're creating something. I was reading that in the Greek this morning, and it kind of bore that out, that it was like the way that they said that was, you become the creator by the very things that you say. Glory be to God. You're bringing it to pass. It didn't happen just then, but it's coming together. It's working together. And listen, the way most people read this in the church is they say that when he says this, we think so oftentimes. I told you this is 101. You've probably heard this 1,000 times, but let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If you think that your mountain goes away because you casually speak this when you think about it, that's not what he's saying. He said, and when you stand praying, he's talking in context. Have we not learned to meditate things in total concepts around here? Taking nothing out of. Jesus is talking about the power of speaking to the mountain. And then he said, when you're doing this, when you're speaking to your mountain, that is a position. The word stand there means a perseverance. It's the word perseverance. Folks, the mountains that Jesus is talking about going away by the words of your mouth and you setting something in discourse is not you thinking about it on the way to work and trying to make up some kind of confession. I'm not discouraging you from doing that. This is the kind that spends the hours necessary that the hesitation in your heart goes away to full-blown maturity, that when you say it, you mean it with all your heart. Glory be to God. We've said this before recently. You can't talk doubt and fear for 2 hours and then as a footnote throw in, oh, but by the way, by His stripes I'm healed. Your mouth gives you away. Jesus said here that whosoever should lego say, or I say unto you, I lego unto you, that whosoever shall epo, which is to speak unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, doesn't have the hesitation there, it has to go to this place. Listen, you can't get to this place by casually, every once in a while, speaking to your mountain. It has to be a continual process in your life. Otherwise, Jesus said this. He said, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Now listen. This is truth. But the connotation of this truth is in the positive. Jesus said, if you speak to the mountain, set something in a creative action, and you say to it, and you will continue to say to it until the hesitation goes away, then you'll have whatsoever you say. So whatsoever you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth, you'll have it. And I say glory to God. But do you know that he was confirming a spiritual truth that works either way? Either way. If you believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth, it will come to pass. Either way. See, I don't mean to be mean, but in all reality, you could run up to people who are saying, I mean, when you talk to them, I'm sick. And it's either my back or my head or my knees or my belly. And every time you talk to them, it's the same thing. Or I'm just so depressed, I don't know what to do. But Jesus is my healer. Listen, you know what you could do? But you shouldn't, because you're too sweet. Honey, you're the biggest faith builder I've got in my life. Now I hope you change. But you confirm the Word of God. You confirm it. Because Jesus said, if you believe it in your heart, and you keep saying it with your mouth, you'll have whatsoever you say. If you're sick all the time and you can't, and you say, I don't understand, I just stay sick, and that's all you say, honey, you're confirming, oh, throw the party, put the candles out and the balloons. You prove the Word of God to be true. Jesus said, whatsoever you say with your mouth, it is going to come to pass. You confirm the Word of God to me. Because all I hear you say is, I don't know how we're going to make it. And I don't know how. And I'm sick. And nobody loves me. And I don't know why God don't bring me out of this. Because if He loved anybody, He'd bring me out of this. Because I've got a bunch of it on me. No. And maybe you enjoy the ride. But you're confirming the Word of God. Because everything you keep saying is going to keep coming to pass. I told you it was 101. But it's truth. You can't say it. And listen, while you're saying it, you're building a memorial. Peter says we're lively stones building a house. As long as you're taking your brick and building an edifice, a memorial, to get out of your situation, anytime, any time that you speak against that, you reach and pull brick out from underneath the foundation. And unless you repent of it and say, God, I've been speaking to this mountain, I'm building a memorial, an Ephesus, this thing is one day going to go away. If I just, oh God, I had a bad day. If you had a bad day, repent and don't go back to it. Because you're taking lively stones and pulling them out against the rock of your confession and saying, you are my healer. And the moment you say, I'm just so sick, I don't know what I'm going to do. You say, God, forgive me. I will not speak that again. Well, how are they going to know how I feel? You just say, look, how do you feel? I want to tell you something. Do you know you'll know what a person's doing behind closed doors by how they talk? You'll see it in their eyes. How you doing, Pastor? Well, Gerald, he's my rock. And I've got the victory, Gerald. Bless God. I'm going to make it, buddy. I'm going to make it. If behind closed doors, where it really counts, he's becoming your rock and your healer. They'll know what you're going through, but they'll know that you're crossing some kind of void called hesitation, doubt, and fear. And you'll say, listen, that scoundrel, he's been trying the same old symptoms, but he's become the centerpiece of humor for my home, because every time he invades it, he's proving that the word works, because we're going forward. I am healed. My marriage is healed. My body is healed. I am delivered. I'm set free. Hallelujah to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, will you pray for me? Or will you pray for that one? Listen, I will pray. I will pray. But unless you've been in it 5 minutes, my prayer is only going to, it's only going to help you survive. It's not going to make the sickness go away. If I pray for you and tomorrow you start saying the same old junk, Jesus Himself, if He prayed for you, cannot. How many of you believe if God heard anybody's prayer, He'd hear Jesus' prayer? Jesus, if Jesus prayed for you and you turned right around and walked out and said what you know is opposite to that word or what you've been confessing. See, because let me tell you something. Every single time that you get a miracle or get a healing or get a deliverance or get the check in the mail, every single time Jesus said, don't get offended, don't get offended, the enemy's still going to come back. But they're lying symptoms. The pain that momentarily comes through is called symptom. It's lie. Amen. 101. The bad report is a lie. But it's not a lie. It's taken up residency. I know, because you put the Word of God into action. You proved. Thank you. I believed in God before, and I believed in faith before. But you are proving the faith message to be true. Whatsoever you say with your mouth is going to come to pass. Symptoms, you are a lie. You are a lie. You don't think? I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and then I heard Gary, and Gary wasn't teaching on this, but it was so amazing. You don't think the Word says in Hebrews that He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin? You don't think the enemy didn't? And I saw this the other day. I said something to somebody and then I saw it later. You don't think that Jesus didn't, sometimes the enemy didn't come to Him and all of a sudden He got a stitch in His side? or some kind of, or just one swallow of a symptom of like, well, it couldn't take up residency in him. No, it didn't, because he realized immediately the symptom is a lie. God's word is truth. You're coming. He had a natural body just like us. If he'd have received the symptoms, the word says he was in all points tempted like as we, meaning it had to be presented to him. Otherwise, if he's just walking around with an immunity around about him, he didn't have the opportunity to resist it like you and I. Stitches came in his side. Ugly, horrible thoughts came to him. The only thing is, the moment that he felt it or it came to him, oh, no, no, no. I'm the one in authority here. This is my body. You're not moving in. But what do we do? I'll tell you something. I've had this thing in my back all day long. All day long. It was a symptom. And a symptom is a lie. A symptom is not reality. You say, I can't believe it would touch Jesus' body. It didn't. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's a mirage. It didn't touch him. 99% of the stuff is that comes to us is a lie. And then we say, hello? You got 10 minutes or 10 hours? Because something just come on me. It's real bad. No, it didn't come on you. But every time you say something, it is gaining ground. It is starting to go from a symptom to a reality. Faith 101, people. We can't ever forget it in our trek to revival. Because a lot of mirages are around us, manifold temptation. And I'm not saying that any of you that I know, there's some really mature people fighting some hellacious battles. And you're not doing what I'm saying. I mean, you're not folding underneath it. You know what to do, and you're doing it. But all the more, people, let me tell you something. The symptom is a lie. What's out there coming against our finances is a lie. It may seem strange for the moment. It will change. Oh, don't want to forget this footnote. Because it was all in red. And he didn't go take a potty break and come back and say, oh, I just went and got popcorn. I want to change. I want to start talking about something else. He's still talking about speaking to the mountain, whatever that mountain is. Well, I got 10. Well, speak to 10. Well, I don't know any word. Well, look, we got LaRue's stuff. We got Jesus' stuff. We got Gary's stuff. Kathy wrote a little thing. I mean, we've got, but it's just like that Bible. You can get them all. And if you're not doing it and putting it in and it's coming out, you can have 50 confessionary books on your shelf and die of cancer. You can have 50 pages. You can have it on your refrigerator. He supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory. And the only reason why you go to that refrigerator is not to rehearse that, but to get another chicken leg. Man, Candy. Glory to God. Oh, so he didn't change the subject here. He's still talking about faith. 25, and when you're making your stand, when you're standing, making your confessionary stand, this isn't like, oh, I thought of it, now I'm going to say it. No, this is you saying, my God, I'm going through hell. I better buck up, find about 10 scriptures. Or you know what? Sometimes we think we've got to have a bunch. Jesus turned the whole headship of Satan's authority in the wilderness with one scripture each time he got shot at. I like a bunch because a bunch feels good to me too. But in all reality, you can take one little word and believe it and turn the whole world upside down. You can turn all a principality on one word. Well, I don't know, but one scripture. Does it talk about your healing? Yeah. Only say it. Say it. And say it. And say it. And say it. and say it until when somebody looks at you tomorrow and says, how do you... Ooh. You know the hesitation will be? The hesitation will start being on the positive. Like, ooh. It's not so easy for me to speak the doubt anymore. Glory be to God. It'll start flip-flopping. Therefore I say unto you... So verse 25, he says, when you stand and you're making this stand, forgive. Uh-oh, Jesus, you changed the subject. Uh-uh. Uh-uh. He's telling you what is the solvent that helps all this to work. Do you notice he didn't go into a teaching right here about you are seated together with me in heavenly places, and I'm telling you, you've got power over all the devils. Now, he taught that, and you've got, and he taught us kingly and priestly and powerful, and I mean, all of everything Colossians teaches us in Ephesians. He didn't go into that. But he's telling me how to get rid of the mountain in my life. He just said this, make sure of this. It's like he's teaching, and then he starts to walk away, and I can see him, oh, wait, ho, 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 ho. Sorry. I know the crowd's going crazy. Whoa! We're getting rid of all our troubles. Glory to God. Glory to God. And he's going, hey, everybody like that? Yeah, yeah. Speak the word. Speak the word. Yes, glory to God. Oh, golly. I almost forgot this one. This would pull the rug out from everybody. You could confess yourself blue in the face. You could have just, man, thank you, Father. Thank you for reminding me, because all of what I just said to you wouldn't work at all if I didn't tell you this part. While you're doing this, make sure there's no unforgiveness in your heart. It's all in context. When you stand doing this, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. My God. Everybody have a good time. Go beat the devil. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, whoa, 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 wait. It's like, what was the name, the guy that had the trench coat and smoked the cigars? I loved him. Columbo. He'd aggravate you to death. He'd make you think, okay, that's the end of it. I get to go now, right? And he'd go, oh, wait a minute. I got one more thing to tell you. One more. I can see Jesus give him this big 5-minute speech about victory and saying it with your mouth and turning around saying like Columbo, wait a minute. One other thing. You can make your confession cards and you can confess. But as long as you have a legal suit in one hand and your confession papers in the other, it will not work. You can't cuss them out on the phone, get off, hang up, and say, Jesus, I call you my healer. My God, what happened to... I come in here to be nice. But it's truth. So how does this work, Jesus? Well, I just cussed him out on the phone. Okay, well, you better call him back. Do you want your mountain to leave? No, I'd rather hate him. Well, enjoy your mountain. I'd rather hate him. Well, good, because that arthritis and all that. And please, if you got any of that, it might not be the reason why. But Paul did say, stuff gets up in us. I can't forgive. Well, take another Tylenol then. No, I want it gone. Okay. Keep confessing. And call him and say, I'm sorry. And if I do it again, I'm going to call you again. Because I want to be healed. I want my mountain going away. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.